I'm flying solo today. Mike Ezekiel's out this morning. He had some stuff he had to take care of. All is good. If you want a co-host, Coach, you can stay up here the whole time. I asked a couple people. They didn't want to jump on board, but we'll let Coach Dearman drill everybody here today.
We good? I just wanted to co-host for Walker so I can talk a little soccer today.
We'll open up talking some UNA football. The Lions are back at home for homecoming, so it's going to be a busy couple of days. Hall of Fame induction ceremony Saturday morning. We got another great group going in. It's getting harder and harder to vote every year. The parade will be Saturday. Then, of course, the game that night against Eastern Kentucky. Back to the 6 p.m. kick. We had the 3 p.m. will be 2 p.m. and 1 p.m., I think, the rest of the year. So last night game at Brawley Stadium. We keep marking off last as we move throughout this year. But, Coach, for the first time this year, you were back home for consecutive weeks. And I know it's got to feel good not to be going on the road again.
It does, but to be able to play at home, you get to spend Friday morning or Saturday morning as well with your family a little bit, get to see my kids, get to sleep in my own bed, but to play in front of this fan base, to play in front of this crowd, it's always a special environment. And you said it's the last night game. It's the last night win in Brawley Stadium.
We like it. I know last week was tough, Coach, but what's been the player reaction this week at practice?
I think that our players did a great job this week of kind of taking accountability. I'm never a finger pointer. I don't ever blame players. I'm going to always blame me. Brock will tell you, I'll come in and be hard on our coaching staff. Give you an example. We had four situations where we had some deep balls in the game where we had a corner, we had a safety right there in coverage. I thought Brock made some great calls, but we just didn't go up and make a play on the ball. And so instead of pointing the fingers at players saying, you got to go make this play, we just said, you know what, this week we're going to spend more time in practice, in individual, of training deep ball defense, of training how we're going to go up and make that play. You know, the easy answer is just tell a kid to go make the play. But us as coaches, that's what we're here for. So we were able to spend some time this week, and our players had – some accountability with it. That's Jermaine Ray, one of our better corners, called a DB meeting and basically called those guys out and said, hey, we all got to play better. This team depends on it. And Juice Allen has been huge this week. His voice has kind of echoed through that locker room of guys, we got to be accountable for what we put on the field. So it's been a really good week with our guys.
Let's talk about a couple of those young men right there. Juice Allen, a guy that we've had around a lot. Second year here at this program, the kind of guy you wish you had longer. He had 150 yards of total offense last week. I think it ended up being close to 80 yards receiving, right around 60 yards rushing. Every time he touched the ball, it felt like he was about to break it. But to have a guy like Juice getting it done on the field and then holding guys accountable, that speaks volumes to him.
It is. He is the kind of the face of the program. He does things the right way every day. I think he lifts every Monday and Wednesday at 7. He's usually in the building at 6 o'clock. He's down with Penny, getting his body right, ready to go. Comes in, puts extra time in with film, with Coach Johnson. Leads with a positive voice. And then to be able to go out and play, that's what we've kind of challenged. We've got a couple guys on this team that have a voice that try to speak. But if you don't play well, nobody listens to you. You could be a big leader as you want to, but if your play on the field doesn't match, it doesn't matter. And he's one of the guys that his play on the field matches his voice. So we lean into Juice a lot for kind of leading this team from inside the locker room.
And other leaders, Coach, you mentioned Jermaine Ray calling that meeting, but Seth Hampton was pretty vocal after the game as well. DeMarquius Robinson, 7 tackles, one of the top tacklers in the United Athletic Conference this year. Those guys as well have been very vocal on that side of the football. Talk about their leadership just a little bit.
You know, both of those guys are starting 2 linebackers, and you're hoping that your starting 2 linebackers are vocal guys. If they're not, you've got a problem. And for them two to speak out as much as they do, I think D-Rob took a little bit because he's one of the new guys. He's one of the transfers. So he didn't really feel like it was his place early. And now he's kind of taken over on that side of the ball defensively where he's being a loud voice. Seth has always been that guy. Seth Hampton is he's one of those guys that you'd let date your daughter. I mean, he's a phenomenal human being, does things right on a daily basis, lives life the right way. So those two are you know, Juice is up there, but those two are as well. And I'll tell you this, because I don't know if you're going to go this way, but I'll go ahead and say it out there. Some of y'all heard me the other day talk about Destin Wade. Destin Wade went 3 weeks without taking a snap because of an injury he had. Comes into us at halftime, goes to Josh Penny and says, hey, I want to fight and play for this team. Can I take a shot? And took a halftime shot, came out in that second half and played the way he did. And yesterday's practice, Destin Wade broke the team down. And everybody got quiet and listened to that guy talk. And that's a great sign coming out of a football team is when your quarterback talks, if everybody stops and listens, that's a good thing.
Certainly is. I know we'll see Destin plenty on Saturday, Coach. Let's talk about player voices, special teams. Back-to-back weeks, you all have recovered an onside kick. And the other night on the coach's show, we had Luke Roth on, and he broke the news to us that the drop kick that we saw last week that was recovered for an onside kick was actually drawn up by Ian Vachon. Coach, I know you love creative play calling, but does it put a little smile on your face knowing that your special teams captain right there is getting involved in on the mix?
You know, I know we've got a few Chiefs fans in the room, and I think that's Andy Reid lets a couple of their guys drop a few plays every week and see if they work. And Luke, if you ever go by Luke Ross' office, his 5 to 6 special teams guys are usually sitting in there all day. If they don't have class, they just hang out all day long. I've asked Ian if he would just get a cot and just put it, and then I think I saw him taking a nap the other day in Luke's office. They're just a tight-knit group. So Ian's history at Auburn, Ian's with Coach Lunsford down there, he's a very creative guy, their special teams coordinator. So Ian comes in, just bounces things off of Coach Roth, and he listens to some of them. He doesn't listen to all of them, but he listens to some of them, and Ian definitely drew up that onside kick we did last week. A lot of people didn't know that you could drop kick an onside kick. So I had a few people ask me about it and said, yeah, we made sure that was legal before we did it. But that was a pretty cool experience to see, and he took a hit for it now. He got blasted on that play, but took one for the team.
Is it like when you have an extra tight end, do you have to alert the officials of what you're doing there with the drop kick, or he can just do it freely?
He can just do it freely. You don't have. I'm sure they figured out that he didn't have a tee in his hand, but you don't have to go in and declare like a guy with a new number or an offensive lineman going in at tight end.
All right, Coach, we turn our attention to Eastern Kentucky, fourth all-time matchup, and you go back to the last 3 years, and they have just been phenomenal blow-to-blow football games against the Colonels. So round 4, what can we expect on Saturday?
You know, last year was the last game of the season. We had made a few changes going into that game, and we knew it was going to be kind of a knockdown, drag-out fight. They had to beat us to get into the playoffs, so we got their best shot last year. I think we had a lead, it was a one-point lead. I think we had a one-point lead with like 2 minutes left to go in the game. And then they score, we go on a two-minute drive and get stopped about the 30-yard line or so. But I think that our guys played their tails off last year at their place. We know that it's going to be very similar. They've got a lot of their defense back. They're very, very good and experienced. Got a lot of older guys on the defense side of the ball. Their offense has got a lot of talent. I think that they're trying to find who they are, find their connection on that side of the ball right now where they're not a bad offense. I think their defense just is got a lot of returners, and they're used to playing with each other. So it's going to be a good matchup here at home.
Coach, we appreciate it as always. Best of luck. You guys will be on the road next week against Austin Peay before we meet again. So we look forward to the game Saturday, and then we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Thank you all. Roll Lions.
It's North Alabama head football coach Brent Dierman. I was going to jump to volleyball next, but they just got their food, so I'll let you guys munch a little, or do you want to come on up? You guys want to come on up? All right, the volleyball is going to come on up. They had an unbelievable weekend at home, knocked off Stetson in 4, a 4-set thriller, rallied in the final set to get the win. They were down 13-4 at one point before going on to get the win. Then on Sunday, they beat Florida Gulf Coast 3-2, dropped the first 2 sets, won the next 3 for the first ever win against FGCU in program history. It was FGCU's first loss in 364 days in conference play. They're the defending champs. They have been the best team in the Atlantic Sun the last couple of years, so it was a big weekend for UNA volleyball. Kinsley McGowan is with us. She was named Atlantic Sun Setter of the Week. On Friday night, she set a school record at the Division I level with 56 assists. And how do you follow that up? Will you break your own school record on Sunday with 60 assists? So she was named A-Sun Setter of the Week. She currently leads the A-Sun in assists. So we're going to chat with both of them. And, Coach, let's just start with you. Big weekend, two big dubs over two programs out of Florida that we traditionally struggle against. Just how big was this for the program?
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. I think last year, I figured this out the other day, last year's win against Stetson was the first time we had beaten Stetson in program history. And that was on the road at their place. And then this year we beat Florida Gulf Coast for the first time in program history. So big weekend for the program, you know, really proud of the girls. And both wins were hard-fought wins. I mean, you know, the first match against Stetson, we started really well, went back and forth. And then in the fourth set, we were down. I think you had told me it was 14-6 we were down and came all the way back and won that set 26-24. So resilient effort that day. And then against FGCU going down 2-0. And then reverse sweeping them to win in five, I think just shows a lot about this group and just kind of the resilience. And so just super proud of that, and I think hopefully it'll continue to bode well for the future.
Kinsley, Setter of the Week. First of all, how did it feel to get those two dubs at home?
It felt awesome, yeah. I think winning at home is probably the most special part about season. It's one of my favorite parts.
Now, we've talked to Kinsley after a lot of matches the last couple of weeks on our post-game recaps, and one thing I've noticed is the confidence not just in herself but in your teammates. And you've told me every time I set someone, I expect them to get the point. Well, Kendall Barnes was named Player of the Week. She had, what, 30 kills in the win against Florida Gulf Coast. Reese Ricketts had a career high on Friday, had another 20-plus kill performance. Dylan Gardner, Nicole Sargent. It felt like everybody showed up. What's it like for you having so many weapons this year?
I think it brings a sense of calm to me, especially. Sometimes I think I can get a little overwhelmed with the perfect decision to make, but when you have hitters like that, it doesn't really matter. So it brings a sense of calm to me.
Coach, how good of a job has she done this year? Don't let her be modest.
I hate giving her too much credit from time to time, but as you said, she's very confident. So, she's doing a tremendous job. I mean, it really, Kinsley's put in so much work outside of the gym, and I think that's really what's helped her a lot is coming in and watching film and really understanding the other side of the net and how they're defending us and what to do and really putting in that extra work with Taylor. And, you know, Kinsley's an offensive threat too. I mean, I don't know where she stacks up in terms of setters in the league, but I would have to think she's probably leading the league in kills per set for a setter because she's an offensive threat in and of herself. So, you know, just really kind of bringing out that dog in her that we've talked a lot about. And so just really proud of what she's done. And I think to exactly what she said, I mean, when you can have a balanced attack, it makes decision-making a lot simpler because, you know, it really doesn't matter who you give it to. You're feeling really good about the situation. So, just really proud of what she's done and how she's continuing to grow.
Kinsley, give us the player perspective. You know, Friday you had to rally to get that fourth set win, but Sunday, down, backs against the wall 2-0. Where did that confidence come from to push through and get the rally?
I know one thing we talked about when we got back in from the second set, it was like never really anything about our skill. It was more just like, let's just find our flow because we know what we're capable of and we know we can beat that team. So I think our talk was like, we're good, just settle in and find the flow and let's try to start out with the lead. But other than that, I think it was more about just finding our groove.
So Friday night against Stetson, you had Reese Ricketts finish with a career high 25. Sunday, Kendall Barnes, career high 31 kills. And when you've got two players killing it like that, if you will, what's it like when they're in a groove and you're thinking, I've got to get them this ball?
I think it helps that they're outsides, which is usually like my most confident set. But I think when they're unstoppable, it makes us unstoppable in general. There was nothing they could really do to stop Kendall there. So when you're racking point after point like that, it's hard to come back from. So I think they did a wonderful job.
And then both of you answer this. Kinsley, you go first. It starts with the pass, right, to you. And I look out there during that match, Allie Greenwell, Langford Gurner, the backline players, they are flying around. It felt like every single point there was somebody just sticking a hand out there, getting that ball up in the air to you. How great of a job have they done just on receiving?
They've done amazing. I think one thing especially their serve receive has been looking really good recently. They just look really calm back there, and they look confident in themselves, which I think confidence has been a big thing for us the past few weeks. So I think that was really good. They look really calm. Passing looks amazing. And the defensive ups that they're getting are pretty insane as well. So, I trust them back there. I think that's the biggest thing is the ball gets hit and I expect it to be up. So they've been doing great.
Yeah, really, really proud of that group. I mean, it's a really good core group. You've got Ava, you've got Jesse, you've got Allie, you've got Langford, you've got Olivia, who's been back there. And I think the thing that, and even Kinsley at times, I mean, she had 20 digs against FGCU, which, again, for a setter is just out of this world. And so, you know, the thing that I've told the team, because I knew we were going to be able to score, is we've got to be a defensive-minded team that has great offense. And so, you know, I think if we can continue to dig into that and win the transition game, because if the ball's going to go down, they're going to have to put it down. It can't just go to the floor because of lack of effort. And so when you force the other team to have to earn every point, it also makes things a lot easier on your offense. So, you know, we want to be an extremely gritty defensive team that has outside hitters like Kendall and Reese and, you know, and other kids like Dylan that can put the ball away. And, you know, if we can do that, then we're going to be really tough to beat.
Kinsley, how do we bottle up what we did this past weekend and carry it forward on the road to West Georgia and Queens?
I think we kind of bask in the emotion and the feeling that we have from that game, but we also kind of set it aside and just use the momentum and, like, the confidence for practice this week, but knowing that we still have more work to do and we got to go get this win on the road.
And last thing for you, Kinsley, what was that locker room celebration like after you guys beat Florida Gulf Coast?
It was awesome. I've never been a part of something like that, like a celebration that big for winning something, so that was pretty awesome.
We got a caller, first-time caller
first
right
time
here.
Caller.
What do we got to do to get your brother?
Oh, yeah. So you come from an athletic family as well.
I think the best is a bit of a stretch. I don't know if I would use those words, but, I mean, he's all right.
He's okay.
That locker room celebration, that's coming from a two-time state champion right there. So yeah. For her to say that, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. No, she's got some real good genetics. Her mom's a Hall of Fame basketball player at the University of Clemson, an ACC Hall of Famer as well, I think, right? So definitely good genetics, entire family from top to bottom. So, but, yeah, just really proud of the group. And I think, you know, you had asked me this question earlier about carrying it forward. I think we just got to Ken's point, we just got to keep working. You know, I think the thing that made me the most proud yesterday was we had an off day on Monday. We just won probably the biggest match in Division I history for sure for the program. And then we have an off day, and practice starts at 2, and every player was in the gym at 1:15 before practice started getting extra reps, before we even had practice scheduled. So I think that's a good sign that they're committed to doing what it takes to keep this thing moving and not just satisfied with one win.
Congratulations on the big win. On the road at Queens and West Georgia on Friday, Sunday, right? Queens on Sunday.
Queens Sunday, West Georgia Friday.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. So best of luck to you all. Thank you all for stopping by. That's Kinsley McGowan, front runner for Ace Sun Setter of the Year, and Tristan Johnson.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Let's go to soccer next. We got three in the house for UNA soccer, but first we got to wish a happy birthday to Adam Sportsman back there. He's been getting gifts all day from the players. I'm not going to tell you how old he turned today, but happy birthday, Adam. A few weeks ago at the radio show, it was Alice Bussey's birthday, and she was on the show, and the whole restaurant sang happy birthday, but we won't do that today unless everybody's feeling it. So we'll bring up Coach Walker. He's got two players with him as well, Captain Addy Spate and newcomer defender Lily Ford. They're coming off of a big road trip where they posted a 1-1 draw against Lipscomb. They are the first team to, what's the terminology on this, Coach Walker, not defeat, hand Lipscomb a non-win decision, I guess. Lipscomb 6-0-1 in A-Sun play, so UNA is the first team to take a point from Lipscomb. We can word it that way. And then they bounce back with a road win against Alston Peay to get the season sweep against the Govs. So that's 4 points on that road trip that you guys get. 3 points for the win, 1 point for the tie. And anytime you go on the road for any sport, it is tough, Coach. But how key was it getting those two road wins or points?
It was tough, obviously, to go on the road in the A-Sun. There's no easy games. But the way the A-Sun schedule broke down this year, we had to play Lipscomb back-to-back. So we played them Sunday, tough game here at home, and then had to turn around and go to their place Thursday. But no, I thought we did a great job dealing with their pressure in the game Thursday. They came out a lot better than what they did on the Sunday game. So we withstood some pressure the first 20 minutes or so, and then grew into the game as it went from there. And Giselle managed to get us a goal in the second half, and then obviously they got one back towards the end of the game. But I think a tie was a good result coming out of there. It gave us a point in the standings towards obviously qualifying for postseason, hopefully this week.
Definitely a big week. So let's talk to our players next. Addie Spate is here. She's a captain in her third year from Edwardsville, Illinois. I understand you skipped class for this today?
anything, but
no, she did not skip class.
No, I did not skip class.
How did it feel to get that result against Lipscomb, a team that's really kind of had our number the last couple of years?
It was awesome. I mean, we didn't play our best on Sunday, so then we wanted to come back and get revenge and prove ourselves on Thursday, and that's what we did.
Lily, a newcomer, a defender, transferred to North Alabama from Murray State. You already have a goal this year as well. What's it been like for you coming on board with this program and then going on the road and seeing everybody kind of come together to get those results?
It's been awesome, yeah. I obviously have never played against any of these teams, but I can feel the fire that my teammates feel against these teams, so it really amps me up and makes me want to play for them and get a good result for them.
Sorry, not Murray State. You're from Murray, Utah. I was looking at the Murray High School.
No,
transfer from Westminster University. So why UNA all the way from Utah to Florence, Alabama?
I kind of just had a gut feeling. I was in the portal, and I had a call with Chris, and I just thought it went super well, and it just trusted my gut.
Take us back to your goal against Alabama State. How did that feel?
It was awesome. It was so fun. I've been wanting to score a header goal, and I've been visualizing, and I was just in the right place at the right time.
First career goal at North Alabama. Madison Vukas in net. She's been phenomenal, leads the league in a lot of categories. What's it been like playing with her this year?
It's been awesome. She's so solid, and she's so supportive, and I know I can trust her back there.
Addie, over to you. Your third year now here at North Alabama. What's it been like as you've kind of taken that leadership step forward this year?
It's been so nice. I mean, I've worked so hard, and so I'm just glad that I can be a leader for my teammates and the people that I've been here since the beginning with, that we've just grown into these positions that we've been at.
So what, your freshman year playing the ASUN Championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like, first year at UNA, getting that taste of championship play?
Oh, my gosh, it was crazy. I never thought it would happen, and then it did. We didn't really expect it, but we worked hard all season. So then for that to happen and to get there, it was really rewarding.
Then so many of you are back from that team, right? It was a relatively young crew that made it there. You get Alice Bussey back bonus year this year. So how much have you all talked about that experience, and how much has it driven you this season?
It's been a lot. We know the taste of it, so we just want to get back there, get revenge from what we didn't get that season. So we're fighting because we want that back.
Coach Walker, tell us about these two and the impact that they have on the program.
No, they've been great. These are our two starting center backs. So we can blame Lily for not playing at Lipscomb. The first here against Lipscomb, we got beat 3-1 in that game, and she'd picked up a little injury the day before, so wasn't eligible to play in that one. But then we got them back together for the game at Lipscomb Thursday. So the partnership they've built, as much as Addie wants to play in midfield, she's a true defender now at heart. It's been part of that with Maddie in goal, and then the combination of the back four in front of them has been great. So the consistency they bring to each game allows us to, obviously, if we don't concede goals, we're in every game. So, and obviously build from there going forward, and then hopefully popped up with a couple of assists or goals along the way as well.
Now, for both of you, I understand your roommates, correct?
Yes.
What's it like living with one another on and off the field?
It's fun. Actually, our entire back line, we're all roommates. So it's super fun. We can't get enough of each other.
Do practice and game results come home a lot?
We try to keep it separate, but obviously we talk to each other about it. It is our whole life, so we'll talk about it. But then we still have fun and love each other no matter what.
Coach, let's jump over and talk about Giselle Ellis-Saul. She's had two goals the last two games. Year one to year two for her, what kind of step forward has she taken?
No, she's been great. She had a little injury the past couple of weeks and has got over that now. But scored a great goal at Lipscomb, went through three or four people and finished it off nicely in the corner. And then against Austin Peay, she stubbornly took the penalty. It wasn't my first choice at first. She got fouled. She picked the ball up and went straight to it and said she was going to take it and wanted to do it. So, and finished it off nicely. So she's been doing a great job there, plays in more in the attacking midfield role. But coming off a strong freshman year where she got a ton of playing time in midfield and has been doing really well in the mixture of our midfield that we've put together. So expecting good things from her, and hopefully she can keep popping up and scoring some goals.
Alana Owens is another player that's popped up in box scores, had a goal against Austin Peay. She's an Austin Peay transfer, so we converted her to the right side over here at UNA. But talk about her impact.
Yeah, no, she's been fantastic, and I think her performances have deserved a few more goals, and she's been right there. But she had a little bit of extra fire to go back to Austin Peay, and she definitely wanted to score in that game, and she was fantastic. I mean, she could have scored two or three more as well, but no, the goal she scored was a great ball in from Gracie, and Charlotte laid it off and finished it off nicely. So for Alana to go back to the school where she was to score the game winner against them, I'm sure she quietly enjoyed that, or the celebration, she definitely enjoyed it. So it's always nice to obviously get a goal, but to score it against the school where you were at as well was nice as well. So, you know, it was an important 3 points, and hopefully it keeps us moving up the table to qualify for postseason this week.
Eastern Kentucky on Thursday, 7 p.m. over at the Cox Creek Sports Complex. Then Sunday we get Bellarmine, a 1 o'clock kick. So we'll start off our Eastern Kentucky Hate Week with soccer on Thursday. We played a scoreless draw with them up in Richmond. We lost to Bellarmine just in the closing minutes. I know, an absolute heartbreaker. And, Addy, you've played these teams before. How motivated are you all to get them at home here this weekend?
We're super excited. We have a lot of energy, especially trying to get revenge for our last, whenever we lost against Bellarmine, especially at the last minute. So we're excited to beat them at home.
And, Lily, for you, how much have you enjoyed playing in Florence, Alabama, at the hometown facility over there?
I've loved it. It's been so fun. The community that shows out is awesome, and it's just very loving and inviting.
And Coach Walker, what's the outlook this weekend?
No, it's been great. Obviously, Thursday, EKU are ranked 35th in the country right now, and that's not FCS, FBS. It's just soccer. It's just we're all in one. So they're the 35th best team in the country right now. We went to their place, got a tie, and we feel like we can get an even better result here at home on Thursday. The crowd's been fantastic every Thursday night, so hopefully after the purple pandemonium, everyone comes out and supports us as well. And then we get 3 points there and then focus our attention on getting a little bit of revenge against Bellarmine, where that result stung a little bit. We lost in the last minute of the game at Bellarmine. We had a chance to win it 2 minutes before that as well. So hopefully we can get 6 points this week and start to focus more on postseason.
Set the tone for the weekend on Thursday against Eastern Kentucky, 7 p.m. Bellarmine Sunday, 1 p.m. Thank you all three for joining us. And Addy, you can go back to class now, right?
Thank you.
Let's bring up men's head golf coach, Schmidt's family head men's golf coach, Austin Phillips. They won the Turtle Point invite on Tuesday, the 12th time winning this, the 7th time of the Division I level. And also, it marks the 10th career NCAA win for Coach Phillips. He won 4 tournaments at Cameron University before he came here to North Alabama. 6th win while at the helm of the program here at UNA. Congratulations. How did it feel to get the home course win?
You know, it's always nice to win at home. This is our, I think, 4th year in a row for sure winning, right? Even probably more than that. But last year I wasn't at the tournament because my baby was born literally the Sunday of the practice round. So it was good to actually be coaching again this time.
You actually were there for this one. And Tuesday, I always have to think what day of the week is when we're in game week mode. I never know what day of the week it is. But Tuesday, I know a lot of student athletes came out there. I know men's basketball was out there because Zing loves them. They love Zing. They were getting fired up. But I heard he had an impressive birdie putt chip or something like that on 18. Everybody was going crazy. Set the scene on what some of those 18th hole celebrations were like.
You know, we started really struggling towards the end of the round. We knew we were going to win, but the way our ranking system works, you have to win as much as possible. And so Sebastian came in first, made a par. And then you had Walter, who's a freshman. He makes a birdie, makes like a 20-foot birdie putt. Then I'm with Jed Brady, who's a freshman. He hits it to 2 inches, and they go kind of crazy for that. And then Zing's up next, and he chips in. Obviously, the basketball team goes crazy. Zing throws his club up in the air and starts flexing on people. And then Andrew, who he was finishing on 18 as well, chips in as well. So we went 4 under on 18, which was huge because it gave us much needed, because we played 17, which is usually a good hole for us, really badly.
I know Zing was with us last time you stopped by, and he was giving us the rundown on men's basketball. Well, the other day they did a mic'd up with him on the course. I don't know if it's gone live or yet, but he walked by the camera and he cut a live promo for Purple Pandemonium on Thursday. So I know he's always locked in on basketball, but he had to love that support from the other side as well.
You know, I actually got a text from him today. He said, we need practice done by 4 p.m. because it's Tony Pujols Day tomorrow for Purple Pandemonium. He said, I'm skipping practice for that. So he, you know, he's ready for it. That I think they put out some of the video, and I know they're going to put out some more, but, you know, him on the mic is just hilarious.
Let's talk about some of the other finishers. Andrew Furworm, 10 under. He was your top individualist, finished third. And how strong has he been this year?
Oh, he's been unbelievable. He's really been the catalyst for our team. He struggled for our first event and finished 11th, and he's gone. He finished second at UAB. He finished second at Kentucky, which he won last year. And then that Kentucky field was really good with some really good teams. And then he finished third this week, and he struggled yesterday. That just shows you the level that he's playing at. I mean, he's been really a leader for this team performance-wise and really leading this team to the ranking that we are.
You mentioned Jed Brady, the freshman. You were walking with him. He was 4-under to finish 14th. He was your second-highest finisher. And a freshman coming in, playing with the A-team right out of the gate, just how strong has he been?
You know, he played really well the first tournament, finished 5-under, 67 in his last round. And he was, to be honest, terrible at UAB. And that really could break a player's confidence. He shot 80 for the first time in college. You know, he didn't start in Kentucky, but he came back this week really strong. He gave us a 3-under round in that second round. And yesterday it was not easy out there. And for him to come back and shoot one over was huge for us because we really needed it. And so he counted all three rounds for us this week.
Let's talk about the team finishes as a whole. So you've won two tournaments now. You won the GMAC Invitational, then the Turtle Point Invite. Finished second at the Golf Week Fall Challenge to start the year. And everybody thinks about fall golf, but it carries an impact into your spring season, right? So set up just how strong the team has been this fall and the benefit that pays off in the spring.
Yeah, so how our season works is we have about 10 regular season events, about 5 in the fall, 5 in the spring, and they all count the same. Our championship season is in the spring, but the fall has the same amount of impact. I mean, we have a random 3-month break in our tournament schedule, but at the end of the day, our fall has a lot of impact. Last year, it gave us a platform to have a chance to make regionals. And I mean, the guys have been unbelievable in the fall the last 2 years. I think if I do the math correctly, they're 78-8 in the fall. They have 4 wins and 3 second place finishes in 8 tournaments in the fall. So these guys are just playing really well in the fall. We have a stronger schedule in the spring. And this allows us to have that foundation to have a higher ranking in the spring as well.
One more tournament for this fall portion of the season, the Florida Atlantic Invitational in 2 weeks, October 27th to October 28th, down in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. So, knock on wood, I know the weather's going to be phenomenal. But what's the early outlook about that field?
Yeah, I mean, USF was in it last year. They were a top 25 team, but they had a top 10 player in the country, and he graduated. So it's going to be really tight between us, Florida Atlantic, and USF. Florida Atlantic won a huge tournament early in the year. They're probably going to be ranked in the top 50. We were able to beat them once at the GMAC, but at the same time, they're the home course. USF is going to be strong. So I think we have a good opportunity to win, but we got to play well because it's going to be some good competition.
All right, so your 10th career win. Do you remember your first?
I do. It came out of nowhere. We have live scoring for our tournaments. We were 5th going into the final round. I was D2 coach at the time. We had the number one team in the country there. And so the live scoring was off, so we actually didn't know the score. And then they reset the score when all the scorecards came in, and we ended up winning by 1. So it kind of just happened out of nowhere. It was in San Antonio, Texas, which ironically is where my wife is from. So it was in front of her family. And so it was a special moment. We were not supposed to win that tournament. We were like 40th in the country, and we had 5 top 10 teams there. So it was a really special win there.
And then this win, your 10th, how does it compare to last year's win where you welcomed in a child?
You know, it was really special that Charlie, is his name, was there for the win. This is the first tournament that he's seen a win. And so it was really special to have him there. His birthday was on Monday. He had a Charlie is One sweater on. And, you know, it's really special. And I would rather him see these wins than anything. So it's really special to have that.
For sure. I was just thinking a year ago, the excitement of having the child, and then a year later you're getting to celebrate with him. So I know that had to be very special.
That's great.
Well, that's UNA head men's golf coach, Schmidt's family golf coach, Austin Phillips. Best of luck in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Let's wrap it up talking some women's basketball. Candy Whitaker is in the house. We're just a few short weeks away from basketball season starting. They'll get started November 3rd, a Monday, inside of CBNS Bank Arena against UT Martin. Their first 3 games of the year will be at home November 6th against Fisk, November 10th against Jacksonville State. I know you guys have a scrimmage tonight, I believe, super top secret scrimmage, so that's all we'll mention about that scrimmage tonight, I believe. But, Coach, just how's practice been going here as you're getting set for year number 2?
Well, really, really good. I mean, it's always so nice to have some continuity, your players back that know your system and know what you're trying to do. So that's made this year so much easier. Our new guys are smart. They've jumped right in and have learned really quickly. It's probably my favorite thing about them is how fast they learn. It makes it easy for me and a lot of fun for me.
Sum up year one, your first year at North Alabama. Just when you reflect back at it now, what stands out?
I really enjoyed the year. I've enjoyed my time here. I thought our team was a team that overachieved in a lot of ways and continued to get better and show up and work and handle some adversity. You know, we had three ACLs, which we never want to repeat. But, you know, we handled it well and continued to get better. And I think all of our returners are so much better than they were a year ago.
And then looking back at last year, Charity Gallegos, the Mighty Lion, had an unbelievable year. She was so fun to watch. She's now playing overseas. What kind of career update can you give us on her?
Well, she's doing great. So she played in kind of a semi-pro league in California where she's from. And there was a lot of Power Four kids in that league, a lot from Stanford, a lot of West Coasters. But she dominated that league. I thought it was fantastic because I thought she was really able to prove herself at a against a lot of pros that were home and have that opportunity then to go to Portugal and compete. So really excited for her, and we continue to kind of follow her success. But she's tiny, but man, she can hoop, and loved coaching her for a year.
One of those we wish we could have more than
for
just
sure.
One
wish,
season.
Yeah, I wish she had more eligibility, or they passed. We were always waiting on some kind of D2 rule, but it never happened.
All right, so you had three players tear their ACLs last year. All three are back. What kind of status updates can you give us on them?
Yeah, Vinla's completely back, hasn't missed anything, and really has not had any hiccups along the way. Great recovery. Alyssa, the same thing. Great recovery. EK, really the same thing. Both Alyssa and EK flew back really fast. They're so strong. They're such good athletes that they didn't miss one day of practice upon return. Their summer was a bit different than the rest of them, but once we started practice in September, they were both full go.
As I look at your roster for this year, I see a good mix of veterans with young freshmen, newcomers. But then when you look at a couple of the veteran transfers that you brought in as well, a grad transfer, a redshirt senior as well, this team looks to be a little bit on the older side, and that's always really good at our level of basketball. Have you noticed a lot of upperclassmen leadership from this group?
Absolutely. It's the first time I've had captains in probably 5 years.
Oh, wow.
I don't do captains if I don't feel like we have captains, and we have captains. So I'm really excited to have much more of a player-led team. We are old. We have six seniors, four of which that have been with us and kind of understand. And then we were able to sign two, portal kids 1 year that are going to help us tremendously as well.
And tell us about the newcomers overall. What exactly have they brought?
Talent, size, speed, defense. I think we're better defensively everywhere. Buki and Allie are two transfers that are guards. Allie can really shoot it, super feisty, can play both ways. Buki has the quickest hands I've ever coached. I mean, she just takes it from people. Long, pretty versatile on the offensive end as well. Cameron McNamara is our junior college transfer. She was an All-American at Highland. Big-time post player that has so much ceiling. I mean, she hasn't played basketball long. She hasn't had a ton of coaching, so I expect her to continue to get better along the way. Those are our transfers, and then we have five freshmen. All which will help us in one way or another, right? Either in practice and getting us better and getting themselves better, or in game. I expect Greta Ramon to play a ton at the point. Gabby Jackson will see a lot of minutes as well as a freshman. A
couple other returnees, Jazzy Kling, Katie Criswell, India Howard, names that fans will remember. What's been their progression from year one under you to year number two?
Well, I think there's a lot of understanding of what we're trying to do, so they just do it so much more fluently and understand reads, and they all set the tone with their motors. High motor kids that play hard every day, and all three of those guys are going to impact us.
And then you had some changes on your coaching staff as well. Sandra, Coach A is back, but you had to bring in two coaches, Kayla Petrie and Shyla Cheadle. So tell us about those two and kind of what stood out in bringing them to North Alabama.
Kayla, I've known forever. We played in the same collegiate program. She played at Texas Tech after me. I'm a little older, but so we've known each other for a really long time and never worked together, but always respected how much she won. You know, she's won everywhere she's been and relied on her a little bit when I got out of the game and got back in to help me find players right away. So she was one of my phone calls. She's a great recruiter. I've been a head coach, so I feel really great about adding her to the staff. And then Shayla Cheadle is someone I actually recruited when I was at Oklahoma State. She ended up at Kansas, but knew Shayla and her family and always thought a lot of her family and how they raised her. And you know, she's been at the high school head coaching level, actually Dr. Looney's high school. So there's you know, good Kansas City connection. But she is fantastic with our players. I mean, I just think she is really, really good with the players and does a great job with individual work and will be a very good assistant in the business if she chooses to stay in college.
You know, the Dr. Looney deep cuts with assistant coaches runs deep. A few years ago, we had a football coach who played at the same middle school, I believe, way back, same middle school coach, different eras, and now this connection right there, it truly is a small world. Season begins November 3rd, and are you at the point where you're ready to play, or are you thinking, I need two more months to get ready, or both?
Well, we're ready to play as far as, like, we know what we're doing, and we feel really good about what we're doing, but unfortunately, I have four, probably our top seven players out right now, so I'd like a little more time to get them back and healthy. We obviously want our full you know, strength when we go into competition.
So we got a taste of it last year, had the big win against Central Arkansas. What can fans expect out of team number two?
I think there's going to be an improvement on our defense. I do. I think we're going to be able to extend and play a little bit faster on the defensive end. I think this team passes it really well, understands how to get to next concept. I think they'll continue to move the basketball and work for great shots. Or that's the goal, right? Sometimes we take, sometimes we're early, we have an early trigger from some people, but understanding what makes us go is going to be really important.
Well, Coach, we'll be with you in CBNS Bank Arena November 3rd here in just a couple weeks. Thank you for the time and best of luck this season.
Thank you.
It's North Alabama head basketball coach Candy Whitaker. That'll do it for this week's edition. Thanks, everybody, to coming out. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We just have two more of these left. So everybody brings some friends, invite people next week, and we'll, or 2 weeks, and we'll do it again and have a fun homecoming week. Thank you all very much. Roar Lions.